thinker. And this psalm is a joyful statement of his expectations that God is interested and he's going to act on behalf of his children. That's just who God is. The psalmist knows it. This psalm does call out to God to deliver, but the overwhelming tone isn't a question about what God can do, but rather that he will do it. He will act. He will deliver. He will take care of those who are his because that is exactly his nature. Now, these two verses that we read are firm in their belief that God will act. He's a refuge, a stronghold who never forsakes his own. I tell you what, when you're going through the pain of life, this is something that's good to remember, isn't it? That God is available and interested. You need to know. You need to be reminded that this is really God's character. This is who he is and how he behaves in this time-space continuum that we live in. But there's a part of this text that's a bit conditional. The text doesn't say it explicitly, but it's inferred to by the last words of verse 10. Check that out again, where it says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Oh, I have to be one seeking after him. I heard that in the psalm that we heard sung this morning. "As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you." A longing soul is a seeking soul, right? After all the affirmation, after all the description of God's faithful character, there in the middle of this psalm is this unconditional faithfulness of God that is our choice. In essence, if we look for God, he will faithfully be found. God, I want to put it this way, wanting hearts discover God. Can we say it that way? Wanting hearts discover. If you want God, he is faithful. You will find him. In other words, we can say God can be found in the midst of war. He can be found in the midst of divorce. He can be found in the midst of unemployment. He can be found in the midst of silent separations. Part of my family's life right now, extended family. He can be found in political turmoil. Anybody know about that this week? Can we just say Florida's in for recounts again? He can be found in crowded solitude. He can be found in depression or cancer. You know that? God can be found regardless of the circumstance. If you want to see him, you can find him. Because he's that faithful. And he's interested in the pain you're going through. That's what the psalmist has said. You name it, he'll be found in the midst of the pain because it's not the pain that prevents this, his presence. It's not the war, the divorce, the depression, or political turmoil that prevents God from showing his face to you and me. If that were the case, he would have never been here in the first place. As long as there have been people, each of these have existed. It's not the pain that prevents God's presence, but my choice to look for him in the midst of the pain. If you're not looking for him, you're probably never going to see him when he passes right by you. You're probably not going to feel his presence when the song on the radio that you just shut off would have spoken directly to your heart about God's grace for your life. You're probably not going to hear from him when you've closed the Bible and left it closed on Monday morning as you're heading off to work with the burden on your heart of the issues you've got to deal with. You're probably not going to hear him when you've not been a regular part of the church family gathering where we've mutually been encouraged and strengthened because you were off dealing with the burden of what I've got to go through and I just can't face it. Wait a minute. This is the meeting ground of God. It's not the only place. Don't get me wrong. But this is the meeting ground of God with his people when we gather together corporately to worship and to praise him and to hear from him. It's not the pain that prevents God's presence, but my choice to look for him in the midst of the pain. Where are you looking for him? He's only limited by my choice. As you go through life's pain, you wonder where God is. He's in the middle of your want for him. Can we say it that way again? If you're not wanting for him, you're not going to find him. Now, if Psalm 9 expresses God's faithfulness and our part in discovering His presence, then I want to take you to Psalm 46. You can turn there real quickly. Psalm 46. Psalm 46 expresses God's whereabouts in the first place. We'll be reading just those first three verses from Psalm 46. Beginning at verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with surging. You know, one of the difficulties of living through pain is wondering where God is in the midst of it. That's one of the most significant arguments of those who struggle most with the issue of God and evil. I can remember, oh goodness, all of you can probably remember when 9/11 happened, how many people were saying, where was God when that happened, right? And it's not just the major events. It's the car accidents. I've heard that at the hospital. Where was God when this happened? Why didn't He stop it? It's the cancer. Where was God when this happened? Why didn't He prevent this? It's the addictions. Why didn't God keep my son, my daughter from this? The question I've heard from dozens of mouths is, where was God when? Barry's one of those men. He's a gentleman, four years older than I. He has a family of four children. His two oldest boys now out of university. His two younger are girls. They're both in university. One's about to finish up. His folks have been Sunday school teachers. They've been on the board at the church, leadership team. They've been faithful to their church. Barry's father even participated in donating a significant amount of money to our local church when we were going through this massive building program. Barry grew up in the church. His wife has a full-time job, flexible hours, allows her to be home when she needs to. Barry's mother has significant health issues, but is doing well. Barry's father has had a heart attack, but is doing well. But both have significant limitations at this point. I think I may have mentioned it to you before. It was Barry's brother-in-law at the age of 40 who had a glioblastoma in his head, a tumor in his brain. At the age of 40, with four children, 12 and under, when his life was taken by that disease. Post 9/11, Barry's job as in the insurance industry became more complicated as the industry was reeling from all that was taking place, the new realities of our post 9/11 world, the pressure, stress, it increased to the point that Barry voluntarily gave up his management position and went backwards down the food chain so that he didn't have to deal with so much stress. I met Barry at work one day. I picked up a burger for him and we ate outside of his corporate office up in New York. They had a picnic table just for such occasions. And in New York, in the summer, you can eat outside. Did you know that? You know you can eat outside. It's amazing. And not sweat. As we sat there, encouraging him to open up about the struggles he was going through, Barry looked me straight in the eye and said, Pastor, I want to know where God was when He took my brother-in-law. I want to know where God was in the midst of this struggling relationship I'm having right now with my wife. I want to know where God was because I certainly haven't seen Him recently. To which I simply said, you know, Barry, that's a great question. What does the Word say about that? I don't want to throw out trite answers to his questions like that. I think it's wrong, you know, statements like, well, you know, He's allowing you to go through this because, or, you know, God wants you to learn that. I just don't like that. I don't know that. I don't know what God's allowing that for. But I believe that God was right there with Barry the whole time. I firmly believe that even when Barry couldn't see, hear, or sense the presence of the Lord, He was right there with him. You know what? God doesn't need me to defend Him. His Word is strong enough to state what He wants heard. And His Word through this psalmist says that He is the God of the now. He's interested right now in being a part of my life. He is the God of right now. Oh, I know he was the God of yesterday. The Bible gives us great stories, and we saw God's interaction, and he brought salvation, and he saved Israel, oh, numerous times. We read in Revelation, he is the God of the future. There is a kingdom that Jesus is preparing for those who are his followers. We read that in John 14. We know all about the fact that God is the God of the future. We're going to enjoy paradise with him, right? Heaven. But I also know that God is the God of the now. Because that's what the psalmist was saying. He is forever faithful here and now. He is ever present. When you're going through pain, he's here with you. In my pain, I need the now God. I need the one who will be with me now. I need the one who will hear me now. I need the one who will enter my life knowing exactly what I'm going through. And that's exactly what the psalmist says. Our God is the God of now. He is ever present. He only awaits our wanting for him. I'd like to suggest one more thing this morning for we who walk through seasons of pain as we do. For that, I want you to turn with me to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A little longer passage. We'll begin at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. We'll read 7 through 12. Then we'll skip just a few verses and we'll read 16 through 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Skipping to verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. Paul, speaking to the church in Corinth, has had real ups and downs with this church. In fact, we have two letters written by him to this church in the New Testament. In the very first letter, as you read through it, you'll hear in that first letter a statement about what I wrote to you before, giving us the idea that Paul must have written maybe one other letter that we don't have in the Bible to this particular church in Corinth. Now, in that particular letter to Corinth, by the sounds of it, in 1 Corinthians, it was a painful letter. He actually calls it that. A painful letter. There were struggles. There were things going on, and Paul was trying to help the congregation get beyond some of the things they were dealing with. Sounds like it was struggles, maybe even with Paul's teaching. And Paul shares with his warming congregation now about the ministry that he and his partners in ministry seek to accomplish. And in my paraphrase, they wish to be transparent in the work of the ministry. They will be honorable with the Word of God. They will be humble in their calling. But in the midst of this calling, he recognizes the growing difficulties of life, the pain, if you will, of living out this calling here. And though they recognize the glory of God that lives within them through Jesus, they experience pain after pain after pain. He uses these words: hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. We heard those words. You've read this text a long time. You know exactly what those words are like. Hard pressed. You felt that way? I'm sure you have. All kinds of things crowding in on your time, your attention, which tends to squeeze out what's the most easy thing to get rid of. Oh, my time at church, or showing up for that event at church, or reading my Bible, or, do you hear what I mean?
The easiest thing to squeeze out is God.
It really is.
Satan makes everything else look so good. Tough to squeeze out golf. Tough to squeeze out fishing. Tough to squeeze out beach time. I don't know. See, I can say that because I'm going to leave today. I'm chiding with you a little bit there. But it's true, isn't it? The things we want to do, it's easy to take more of them. Want to do? Read the Word? Oh, yeah. We need to nurture that. Not let that be something easily squeezed out of our life. Perplexed. Persecuted, struck down. We understand exactly what some of those words mean. Those are words that can speak discouragement to anyone who considers their calling in Christ. But with each of those statements, he counters it with words that reveal that no one here needs to give up. You don't have to stop thinking about this relationship with God as being vibrant and whole, because he also said, you know, you've been hard pressed, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Why? Because God's in this thing. And He's interested in the pain you're going through. And He's not going to let it diminish your vibrancy. If you remember that He's the God of your now, for those who want Him. He goes on to express that all of this, all of it, has a redeeming purpose. Yeah. All of what we're going through has this redeeming purpose. All of this. Let me just repeat how he said that. He says it here. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, here's the redeeming part, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Oh, you're going through junk. Inwardly, you're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. There's a redeeming purpose in what we're going through. Oh, I got to remember that. Because sometimes it's really, really hard to go through what I have to go through. Sometimes it's really hard to face the battles that we face. How would God redeem those in your life? Folks, God's not so much a rescuing God as He is the redeeming God. What do I mean by that? God does not protect us from pain, but instead He enters it. And ultimately redeems that pain. That's the essence of the incarnation. Jesus, God's Son, coming to earth to live with, experience, and redeem life for us. A rescuing God provides band-aids and stock portfolios and better jobs. But a redeeming God produces a changed heart and mind that grasps contentment in all things and learns to trust God in all things. That's a redeeming God. That's what He does. A redeeming God produces that transformation in our lives. You know, Paul even said that, not just here, but he said that when he was writing to the church in Philippi. Philippians 4:11 says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things is missing in there through Him who gives me strength. That threw me off for a second. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength, right? The God we believe in, the God who we choose to follow, the reason why you're here, the God for the reason why you're here, doesn't necessarily intervene and rescue us from the pain we go through, although we're invited to pray for that because He wants to enter into what you're going through. But He does redeem our suffering, and He blesses us with a spiritual maturation and growth that moves to a contentment. And that's a big word. Contentment right where we're at, even when we're going through the pain. Can one be content in the midst of death? Can one be content in the midst of relational struggle? Can one be content in the midst of unemployment? Yes. Absolutely. Because our wanting hearts will discover the God of the now who redeems the now. That's what He does. What I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to offer a word of prayer over this whole congregation. I am not short of understanding that if there's 120 people in here this morning, there's probably 119 and a half of you who've come in with something in the back of your mind that's just not comfortable. Something you've been going through. Whether it's health, whether it's financial, whether it's a spiritual struggle, whether it's a relational struggle, whether it's friends or family. I want you to know that when you seek after the Father, He will honor your desire of your heart. And He will help you through that pain. Let me bow for a moment, shall we? Gracious God, in the midst of all that we go through, wow, the day-to-day, the events that seem so innocuous at times and yet can knock us right off our feet, God, we realize how much we have to rely on You. We look to You, God. Sometimes we wish You'd just keep things away from us. You'd keep health issues away or relational issues away or financial issues away. But God, we know that's not real. Real life happens and it's okay. Because in the midst of what's happening for real, You say, I'm going to walk with You through it. I've sent Jesus to understand exactly and show You how I intend to walk with You through it. Father, Your Word has proclaimed it. We've heard it today. You're going to be the God of the now. You're going to be there when we need You. You're going to speak into our days and into our lives. And though we are dealt with crushing issues, we know that Your Word encourages us because it says, we're not destroyed here. No, sir. But instead, there's a transformation that continues to take place inside of us as we persevere holding Your hand through this. Thanks for being present. Thanks for being a God of strength and a God who cares and a God who alters our forever as we grow up in You. Father, across this congregation, You know the hearts and minds of these people, these wonderful people. You know the things they're going through, and I pray, Father, that as they reach out to You, that You will show Yourself as more than sufficient for the day. May they hear You. May they sense Your presence. May they walk closely and find in You the redeeming strength they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.